day you'll see the second in four installments of a message called Things You Must Do For Yourself. Last week, we talked about disciplining yourself for the purpose of godliness. This one is called Humble Yourself Under the Mighty Hand of God, that He will exalt you in due time. You'll have some notes so you can take that out and follow along with this. This was just shot a couple of days ago, and this is just something that we're doing to try and put some creative spin on it, and you'll see maybe yourself and some of your tendencies even in these videos. But we're excited about them because these messages are poignant messages that are extremely applicable to every day. One of the best ways to humble ourselves, you'll see here in the video. It's everybody can do this. It's that easy. You know, there's a lot of problems in the world today. And we're not going to be able to change all of them, but that doesn't keep me up at night that I can't, because even some of the greater authority figures cannot. But even though we may not be able to handle all of those or change those overnight, we can't get so polarized with that we miss what our original assignment is. I have a friend on the mainland that's so concerned about the elections. Every time we talk, it's all about the elections. And he doesn't have a waking moment where he's not thinking about it. And I thought, you know, you can get so caught up in those things that you miss what we're supposed to be about, which is bringing the presence of God to the places where we live, to representing Him and radiating Him and being an ambassador for Christ, so that we're thinking what He's thinking and speaking what He's speaking. Because you see, leadership's going to change, and it's going to change again. Problems are going to come, they're going to go, and new problems will take their place. That'll continue. But we have a wonderful assignment that we cannot miss, and we don't want to be distracted from it. Reminds me of the centipede that was going across the road, and a little mouse kind of scooted up next to it and said, "Hey, you have so many legs. How do you know which foot to put in front of which?" And the centipede said, "You know, I never thought of that." He began to consider now, which one is next? And it messed his brain up so much, he didn't know how to walk anymore because he was so distracted. Which one goes first? Well, sometimes we get so distracted that what should come naturally, we miss, and we polarize our own assignment here as men and women of God, where people want to see Christ through us. And you know, one of the best ways for people to see Christ more than us is by humbling ourselves. John the Baptist said it this way, "I must decrease so that He might increase." Well, he was saying, there's got to be a way to humble myself. Why? Why? You berate yourself? No, so that Jesus will be seen more. That's it. And here's a couple of ways that we'll take a look at today as to how to do that. That's so easy. Everybody can do it. Let's take a look.
Sujan.
Oh, hey.
How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
I like your outfit. It's nice.
Oh.
You look cute.
Thanks. Also, what will it be?
The usual.
I'll take a double espresso.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Dude, would you just ask her out already?
Shut up.
Weak sauce.
Whatever.
Look, there's always this thing between you two whenever we come in here. You get all googly-eyed, she's all shy.
Be cute if it weren't so pathetic. Look, just man up and ask her out. At least give her a big tip or something.
Sorry that took so long.
No problem.
Oh, that'll be $5.25. Thanks. And here's your change.
Thanks. Hey, what are you doing for lunch?
Oh, nothing. Why?
Well, I was thinking, you know, maybe for lunch, if you want to do it, we could just...
Wilma!
She didn't see it.
She'll notice it.
No, it doesn't count unless she sees it.
Sorry, my mom's kind of crazy.
That's okay.
What were you saying?
I was thinking, you know, for lunch, if Just go
on.
She didn't see it again.
No.
Just fish out the old dollar bill and just put it back in.
It's great.
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, no, it's not.
No,
she's coming. She's coming. Jesus.
No.
I was just coming in for some coffee. This is a wild place. More like I just fell into one of the scenes of The Adventures of Indiana Jones with Korean subtitles.
Hi, just a cup of coffee, please.
Hey, I'm going to do some devotions today, and today's reading's out of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Thank you. And since you're here with me, join me. It's so good to be able to do devotions with you today. Not often do I get to do them with the whole church at once. Hey, today we're reading out of 1 Peter chapter 5 about another thing we get to do for ourselves. Peter says it this way, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And let's all read this next line together. Here it is, go. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Did you catch that middle phrase, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Underline that, because we're going to camp there for a moment. You know, the Bible says either you're going to humble yourself or God's going to humble you. I don't know about you, but if it's up to me, I think I'll humble myself. Thank you. But the definition of humility is not berating yourself or demeaning yourself. No, rather, humility is a simple discovery that your greatest joy is going to be found in giving life away. Now, the reward is not applause. It's just that you've been able to serve. You were chosen to serve. It's quite a privilege. But this kind of humility is not gained easily. It's gained intentionally. You might want to write that one down in your notes. It's not gained easily. It's gained intentionally. Reason? Humility is not natural for us human beings. But in order for it to be developed, these acts of humility must be intentionally planned and carried out consistently until it becomes natural. Today, we're going to talk about one of the simplest ways to build humility. It's something we call hidden service, sort of anonymous acts of kindness in the name of Christ. Doing the act and then backing off, not taking credit for it, but backing off and letting Him take care of the rest. We do our part, He does His. It's sort of partnering with God. We do the hidden service, and then He gives what will be seen public. Life, health, drawing people to Himself. Remember that? We do our part, and it allows Him to do His. Taking joy in the simple fact that you got to do good. You got to serve. Got to give. That's it. No accolades or trumpets needed. No ticker tape parade. In Matthew 6, Jesus says it this way. He says, when you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they'll be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. In other words, If we blow a trumpet about what we're doing, that's as far as that act is going to go. God's not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. But with hidden service, we will see results far greater come to pass as we do our part and let God do His. Hidden service is done just for the sheer joy of being able to do something in the name of Christ, whether it's in the spotlight or in the shadows. It highlights Him, not us. And then humility starts to become a natural part of us rather than some contrived duty of a Christian. Hey, let me ask you. In these last couple of weeks, have you been able to do some acts of hidden service? An anonymous gift, helping hand, doing a pro bono job, as it were, not charging people, just to help someone who may need a boost. This kind of thing is so healthy for our soul. Something of God's DNA begins to surface when we give without any strings attached, when our sole motive is just to discover the sheer joy of being God's messenger, to do a good deed in His name. I sort of say it this way: good deeds brings goodwill that leads people one day to be open to the good news. But that part we leave to God. Now, by the way, hidden service can even happen in church. Did you know that? Giving can be a form of hidden service. No, not giving to get or giving to be seen, but rather giving for the joy of knowing that you're contributing to the greatest cause in the universe. Giving as a way of helping others, as being Christ to others who need a boost. That's why God says that He loves cheerful givers. Let me tell you a story, but first, I need to let you in on a pet peeve. I hate seeing rubbish dumped on the road. I mean, like a bag of trash that falls out of a truck and then is promptly run over by dozens of cars. I just hate it. But I remember a time in Hilo, I was driving to church, and there on this highway called Komohana Highway was a bunch of trash. It looked like from a party. And as I drove by going to church, I started grumbling, "God, the county needs to clean this up." And it was mushy because it had rained the night before and it looked like beer cups all over the road. And I drove to church and I'm grumbling and complaining. And then I preached and then I had to drive back home to get my wife because in those days we only had one car. And I drove back through this rubbish again of napkins and beer cups and I'm complaining and grumbling. Who did this? Who had a party and dropped all of this stuff on the highway? And I got my wife and we drove back through it again. I told her about it. "Look at this stuff. It's terrible. That's terrible." And I drove to church and preached on the love of Jesus. Well, driving home again, I saw it. And I remember when I got home, I got out of the car and I was grumbling under my breath. And I just heard God just quietly say, "Why don't you go clean it up yourself?" And I thought, wait a minute, they don't pay me to do this. But I heard it again: "Why don't you just go clean it up?" And I thought, me, moi, that's beneath my dignity. But it's sort of like when God says something to you and you know it's God, you can't run from it, can you? So I put a couple of black plastic bags, rubbish bags, in my trunk and didn't really tell my wife. I just said, "I got to do an errand for God." And I drove back down, parked my car behind some bushes because I didn't want anybody to see me, the pastor of New Hope, cleaning beer cups on the road. Not a nice scene. They might think it's mine. So I'd wait. And when cars would be far away, no car in sight, I would run out there and pick up some of these beer cups off of the road. And then when a car would start to come, I'd see it in the distance. I'd go behind the bushes and just sort of wait for a while until it went by. And then I'd run out and grab some more. And then another car would come and I'd duck down. And I'd try to disguise myself until I got everything picked up. And I remember looking at one of the napkins and it had the name of this Buddhist church. And I thought, I can't believe it, these people. What do they think they're doing? And I remember tying it all up, kind of complaining to God. And then I drove it over to a landfill and dumped all of that. Then I got home, washed my hands, and thought, done, done. I remember the next week I went to church and had forgotten all about this incident. Didn't tell anybody about it. Just needed to be cleaned up. And a couple came to me after church and they said, Pastor, you know, the reason we came to church is because we saw you last week. I thought, where did you see me? He said, we saw you on the road picking up trash. And I started to defend myself. Wasn't mine, wasn't mine. And they said, no. All we wanted to say was we knew it wasn't yours. It was from some party. But we saw that if you were willing to stop and clean up something that's not yours, if you took the time to do that, then we'd be fine at this church because we know that you would take care of our souls and our family. Never forgotten that. Matthew 5:16 says it this way. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, it's doing things in such a way that God gets the credit, not us. No. And speaking about credit, I'm going to get a refill on my coffee and I'm going to be right back. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the dangers of credit. No, not the kind on plastic bank cards, but a credit that also can be stolen nevertheless. But before that, listen to this song about hidden service. And I'll be right back.
A simple act of kindness found me. A simple act of kindness saved me. A simple act of kindness brought me home. Well, I don't know if you could see there was a soul inside of me. If not for the kindness of a friend, well, maybe now you couldn't tell, but I'd be just an empty shell if not for the kindness of a friend. I know how dark a human heart can be out there. I was so far gone, I thought that no one ever could see me. I would be a lost and broken man if it weren't for the wasn't all that long ago, I would have thrown away my soul if not for the kindness of a friend. Well, now and then I feel the sting of almost losing everything if not for the compassion was the only pass along what someone gave to me. A simple act of kindness found me. A simple act of kindness saved me.
A bucket is coming. I no money. The taxes, they take all my money. My wife went to Ross. She never give me no money back. I no money for God. For Mira. Be sure. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, bro, you get change. That's all you get. Excuse me. Excuse me, anybody get change? Excuse me.
Yeah,
oh, thank you. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's all you get, $1. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Hey, let's talk briefly about a second way to build humility. It's how we handle credit. No, not the kind on our Visa or MasterCard, but a different kind of credit. You know, we got to admit it. We all like credit. To get credit for something we've done, or an idea, or a service, or some accomplishment. But when credit is given, it's safe. When it's stolen, it can be destructive. Story is found in the last chapter of 1 Samuel and the first chapter of 2 Samuel. Let me tell you the story. Saul is defeated by the Philistines and he asks his armor bearer to kill him. Otherwise, the enemies will find him and torture him because he's defeated. And so here's the verse. Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword," he says, "and pierce me through. Otherwise, these Philistines will come and pierce me through and make sport of me or torture me." But his armor bearer would not do it, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. So who killed Saul? He does it himself. Now, later, another young Amalekite takes Saul's crown and bracelet and goes and finds David, figuring that maybe bringing the crown bracelet from Saul might get him a few kudos and a position with this new king. So he fabricates a story. He tries to take credit for something that he shouldn't have, and it works against him. He found David and told him that King Saul had called him to his side when he was dying. Now listen to these words. "Then he said to David, he said to me, 'Stand beside me and kill me, for agony has seized me because my life still lingers in me.' So I stood beside him and killed him because I knew that he couldn't live after he had fallen. So I took the crown which was on his head and the bracelet which was on his arm, and I have brought them here to my Lord." Now, did he take the life of Saul, kind of a mercy thing? No, no, no. But the Amalekite, for some reason, thought that he would sort of be a hero. I saved him from being tortured. And now here's the crown bracelet. What do you think? Later on, the consequence is found in the 14th and 15th verses. David came back to him, and he thought about it for a while, and he says this. David said to him, "How is it that you were not afraid to stretch out your hand and destroy the Lord's anointed?" And then David called one of the young men and said, "Now go and cut him down." So he struck down the Amalekite and he died. Not a happy ending for this one who tried to steal some credit. Now, it's kind of a weird story, but it's true. And it's just as dangerous when we do it today. You see, it's better to give credit away When you do, it'll always come back to you. In fact, Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger, not your own lips. You see, what it's saying is when credit is received, it's safe. But when credit is taken, it's dangerous. And more so when it's stolen, it can be destructive. You want to know one of the best ways to build humility, to humble yourself? Here it is. Give credit away. Bolster others. It'll always come back to you in another form that's safe, but it's a part of hidden service. And believe me, there's no greater joy than watching God do His part after we have done ours. It's a partnership. But if we demand attention and require credit, we're stealing, because attention and credit belong to Him. Our part, the act of hidden service. His part, He gets the attention and the credit. This week, let God open some doors for you for hidden service and to give credit away. And watch how it helps us to humble ourselves. Hidden service. My prayer? Well, my prayer is that we understand that if we are to grow up in Him, we've got to humble ourselves. And the best way to do that is through hidden service and giving credit away. So the observation is about humility. The application, this week, try some acts of hidden service. Just do your part. It'll be tempting to take what isn't ours to take. Credit, attention, don't do it. Restrain yourself and watch what God will do. You watch, you wait, you'll see.
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart?
Shame. Is your coffee served? Get
changed.
Hidden service, our part. Giving credit to Him to whom it belongs, then He can do His part. If we try to steal what's not rightfully ours, then it becomes toxic. We do our part, partner with Him, you watch what God can do. Amen? Let's stand together as we conclude. Humble yourself. It's the second thing that we need to do. Next week, we'll talk about how to check yourself to see if you're in the faith. We're going to talk about three very important basics that have to be in place before you launch. And when you got those down, you'll be fine and you'll fly just fine. But those are things we must learn to do for ourselves. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful church called New Hope. And thank you for a church that builds their youth in such a way that our tomorrows will be assured, because it will be filled with young people who know you well. Lord, we ask that you will continue to keep your presence strong in this place as we follow you. We'll do our part, and we'll let you do yours. And together we'll partner and watch what you can do. We'll watch. We'll wait. We'll see. Thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give a clap offering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Thank you, Lord.